creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Hey there, friends. It's Darren from ProBlogger here. Welcome to episode 157, where today I've got a great conversation to play for you. It's a conversation that we recorded at the ProBlogger event with our opening keynoter, Brian Fanzo from iSocial Fans. Brian is someone that I've admired for the last year or 2 years probably now. I first came across him, I think, on Periscope, where I just happened to stumble onto this channel where this guy wearing a baseball cap was talking at a really high level about using live video and some of the newer social platforms that were coming out at the time. Brian was a fast talker and he knew what he was talking about on a technical kind of level, but also had real heart. And I think that's what really attracted me to Brian and to subscribing to him and then following him around the internet wherever he went for a while afterwards. And that's the reason we wanted to get him out to the event today, because he is someone who not only knows a lot about particularly live video and some of the newer forms of social media like Snapchat, but he's someone who lives it and he's someone who uses it in a good way, in a heartfelt way. And so we wanted to get Brian onto the podcast, and like a number of the other speakers that we had at the event this year, we decided that maybe we could get them in front of a couple of microphones at the event itself. Now, I wasn't the best person to be doing interviews at the event because I was being a good host, so we asked Carly Nemo from Radcasters if she wouldn't mind doing a few of these interviews, and over the next few weeks, you'll hear a number of these. Today, we feature Brian, who was the opening keynote, so he was probably the best one to do as an opening interview, and they cover a lot of ground in the next 17 minutes. They start off talking a little bit about the event itself and what Brian talked about, but then they get into some tips. And Brian shares a number of his key messages of his presentations. He talks particularly about perfectionism, which I found really useful. It was interesting during his opening keynote when he talked about perfectionism, people started taking notes and tweeting like crazy. So he's got some good stuff to say on that. They talk about fear. They talk about productivity. They talk about many different aspects of, I guess, trying to be in lots of different places online. And this is something that Brian does have some expertise on. So I encourage you to sit back, grab a cup of your favorite beverage, and have a listen to Carly and Brian. And at the end, I'm going to pull out a few of the themes that I really found beneficial in this particular talk. The last thing I'll say is that if you want to hear Brian's sessions from the event, we do have a virtual ticket. You can go to problogger.net/virtual ticket. problogger.net/virtual ticket, and that's where you can get full access to not only Brian's three sessions for the event, but also all of the other sessions. I think in total we had close to 70. You actually get a last year's event as well. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Carly, who is going to get us going with Brian.
Hey, Carly Nemo here from Radcasters.com. Launch, leverage, love your podcast. This year I made the switch from attendee to speaker at ProBlogger, and I was super honoured when Darren contacted me to ask if I'd be willing to sit down with some of the keynotes and have a chat. I mean, amazing! So that's what I did. Pulled all my gear together, set it up in the green room, and sat down with some of the most incredible people I've ever met to have conversations about ProBlogger, what makes them tick, and what they contribute their level of success to. I'm sure you're going to get heaps out of this. Enjoy.
Brian Fanzo, better known by my Twitter handle as iSocial Fans. I'm a change evangelist, which really means I help brands embrace change and integrate technology, social media. I'm a speaker, proud dad.
You're doing a couple of sessions, right?
Three sessions. So the first one, I did the opening keynote on really digital storytelling and kind of relating with your audience. It kind of comes a little bit around my think like a fan philosophy of, you know, how do you put yourself in those shoes? I did a panel yesterday afternoon on working with brands as an influencer. I have the luxury of being an influencer for about 4 years, and now I build influencer strategies for brands. So I get to come at it from an influencer perspective, and that was a lot of fun. It was a great panel. And then I just got off stage just now talking really the practitioner side of using some of these new digital medias like live video, Snapchat, some of the new things that are coming out on Instagram and Twitter as well.
If you could have the audience walk away with one key thing from all of your presentations, what would that be?
I would say perfection is a fairy tale. And I think understanding that we no longer believe anybody is perfect. And we also realize that we don't trust people that claim to be perfect, but yet we still try to convey a perfect message, or we want to be perfect on live video or perfect on podcasting. And I think perfection is no longer the goal. And I think for a lot of people today, the rate of change is so fast. New technologies, new apps. I mean, the Facebook Live app was updating today, and I was like, I don't even want to look at it because it's going to get in my head. And I think the only way we can stay on top of this change is we have to remove perfect from the equation and start focusing on what's the right time for me to deliver a message. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to get out there.
Totally agree. What has been your highlight from ProBlogger so far?
So my first time in Australia, and I think for me, and I talked about it just on stage at the beginning of my last one, the ability for people to ask questions that were actionable about their own work. It was amazing. Because I have a lot of people that come up after the event, say things are great, you know, what my takeaway was. But so many people said, okay, I know that you said this. You talked about this piece, but you know, I am a blogger in this demographic. How would you implement it? And for me, I love that because to me, that means that they're resonated, but they're also willing to learn. And I think for a lot of events I go to, people are taking notes, people are nodding their head, but they're not willing to kind of take that next step. So for me, that's probably my favorite part. I told Darren, I didn't want to leave yesterday during the day. I ended up having to move an interview that I had till this morning because I was like, I just love being able to kind of bring that kind of insight. So for me, it's been the audience.
Yeah, cool. And have you had any big aha moments or key learnings while you've been here at ProBlogger?
So it's interesting for me because I'm definitely not a blogger. Saying that I hate writing on stage is something that I warned Darren. I was like, I don't know if this is going to be okay. But for me, I think one of the takeaways was really kind of actually Darren's opening keynote on kind of walking through some of the, I kind of overlook a lot of things and take things for granted on SEO and and you don't have to be perfect in those areas. And as much as I talk about not having to be perfect in social media and not having to be perfect on video, I do kind of attempt to be perfect and not implement things in the kind of the nuts and bolts, the behind the scenes of my website, where now I think I'm going to go back. I was messaging my team during it. And I was like, hey, we need a welcome mat on our site. Like, why don't we? And she's like, I've given you six and none of them are approved. And I was like, I'm trying to be perfect. So for me, I think that was a eye-opening one. And then thank you water thing. I really love great people, great people, great causes. And that was a really cool cause. I think I'm going to do some stuff with them because I do a lot of presentations around, when someone's zigging, you zag and you just do something that no one else is even thinking about. And they have about 8 examples of that has worked out. So
yeah, for sure. And for me, I think the key thing was that idea of disruption.
Yes.
He didn't use those words, but that's kind of what he's doing, right?
Actually, I think I loved it more that he didn't use disruption. Now that you said that, that's actually...
It's a bit of a buzz.
It is. My keynote next week is about disruptive technologies. And when I said that, I was like, what does that mean? But you're right. His ability to convey the ability, you make change. And I have one of my biggest presentations I give is we are greater than me. And I always say you have to be a great me before you can even participate in a we. And he proved that. And the whole company. So I think, and it's amazing. I love the idea they're starting small, but they went across demographics. I got some time with him last night for about an hour and a half. And I'm going to try to integrate some of that into my content. But yeah, that thank you story, the message, it was kudos to Darren putting that at the end of the day. Everyone was like tearing up before the end of the day. Yeah, that was me too. I was like, kept sitting on the side. I'm like, this is tugging at the heartstrings.
Oh my God, I cried 10 times.
Very cool.
Yeah, and what a cool dude too. I think the thing I like most about him is like he's almost childlike. And he's just like, let's just try different things. And I think like that's a key message for all of us, right?
Yep. And we all, you hear the idea that you have to ask the question again, but it's a different point when you ask the question again and then you go implement, right? And I think he's done that more than once. And he, the amount of failures he shared, also brought you on that journey. And that's part of what I was trying to share as well. I share a lot of things on my Snapchat account that I would have never dreamed that I would share. But for me, it's reminding other people that want to follow my footsteps, people that I'm mentoring, that it's all not just what I'm doing on stage. And I have low days as well. And I think that message through thank you as well. He was really good.
What would be your number one tip for someone just starting out?
Be yourself. I think it's really easy to read books, really easy to see what other people are doing. I spent the first year and a half that I was on social media working really, really hard to do what other people were doing. And I hated social media. I almost quit because it was so much work. And I decided, actually, my dad said, well, Brian, you know, your strongest suit through school and everything that you're doing was you're not afraid to be yourself. You wear the clothing you want. And I was like, I'm not doing that online. And then social media was hard. I mean, I would spend, you know, 15 minutes crafting one tweet and over, you know, overthinking and not even sharing the true who I was. But when you are able to be yourself, and for me, actually, it's probably my favorite quote of all the things. My dad was watching a show, and my dad is not a social media user, but he said, you know, he just sent me a text message, and I was live on the air, and he said, son, love what you're doing, but social media will never replace a handshake. And I read that out loud, and I said, Dad, you're right, but for me, it's given me the ability to have new handshakes, and I say, turn some of those into hugs and selfies, and my world, my life has changed because of social media, but I would actually say it's because I'm myself there, and people hire me to come here, and that's my favorite compliment, and if someone's brand new, I mean, if someone comes to me and says, Brian, you're the same person online as you are offline, I'm winning, and I think if you start there, it's a lot easier to keep going, and I think the second kind of tip on that beyond be yourself is find out what your story is. I think it's easy to say, tell your story, share your story, but if you don't really know what your story is, take some time and like, you know, there's lots of books and lots of things to do, but I think understanding what your story is makes it a little easier to create content and do those things as well.
Yeah, for sure. What do you wish you knew in the beginning?
Ooh, wish I knew in the beginning. If I would have looked at relationships in social and really in the digital space and kind of prioritize them or understood that you'll have relationships that'll be beneficial in your business. You'll have relationships that'll be beneficial for maybe your visibility, beneficial for your entertainment, but they all don't have to reach the same expectation and give you the same value. For me, I felt like I had a lot of pressure on as I was rising that I kind of put everybody equal. Like, hey, you've been a friend of mine for 3 years and, you know, but yet we've never done anything in business together. And so I think looking back, if I would have understood that a little bit better, I think I would have managed expectations, which would allow me not to put, you know, get so upset with certain things. And then I think another thing that I wish I really would have known early on was that just that true value of community. Community is, it takes so much to build it and to invest in it. But I think when you hear that and then you see the follower accounts and you see these vanity things that are out there, it's easy to get caught up in there. But if you're tweeting or you're posting on Facebook and you're getting no comments, I don't care that you have 20,000 likes. You know, I would rather someone has 1,000 likes on their Facebook page and they get 8 comments on every single post. To me, that's the ultimate value. And I definitely did not realize that early on. And I was really focused on every network has to have a lot of followers. And now I have a community that's across all channels. And I don't even really look at one platform as where my community lives, but it's amazing when you invest in your community.
Yeah, actually, one of the key takeaways I took away from your presentation, the keynote one, was that idea of consistency. And I think sometimes we think consistency means, you know, sending an email out to our list 3 times a week, week in, week out, when it's actually something that is set by us. We set the expectations. Then we really just have to deliver to those expectations, not the ones that we think we should, the expectations that we set.
Correct. And I think and it's also defining your own success. And, you know, I'm on every platform because part of my goal is to understand what's the value there, present it to my clients, and they decide where they go. And I think too many people say, hey, I want to be on every platform. And even if you're there and you're not engaging or providing the same quality, it's even better to be on there. But like you said, share that expectation. Say, hey, I post on here. You know, one of my favorite ones is it's a very popular YouTube channel now, but she put on every one of the things, I only reply to comments on Fridays. And everyone flipped out. I'm like, why would you do that? And she's like, well, I don't people think I'm ignoring them Monday through Thursday, but I don't have time. Now she has one of the most engaged comments on all of YouTube because she just told her audience, that's the only time I have. And for the audience, it was kind of like that, well, if that's the best for you, we're okay with it. You know, it's amazing how that is by just kind of like setting that expectation. So I'm glad that was kind of resonated.
Yeah, that was cool. Because it's like, you're not actually letting people down by doing that.
No.
You're actually providing them with what they want, but just at a time that's convenient for you.
Sure. Yes.
And then it works for everyone.
And you know, even that element for me has been really hard. I've been a byproduct of I want to please everybody and make everybody happy. And I've definitely realized that I make nobody happy when I'm making everybody happy. And it still hurts. Like my team has to reply to emails that I turn down speaking gigs because I don't like saying no to even an offer, even if they're not even coming close to offering me like the money and the things that I want. It just hurts because I want to be able to do that. And for me, managing that expectation as well is like, it's okay that I didn't make everybody happy. It's okay that someone got on Periscope and said, you talk too fast. I can never watch your Periscope. Well, I agree. I do talk fast. And if you can't consume what I'm doing, I apologize. There's plenty of other people talking. And I think when you kind of get comfortable in that, it works a lot easier.
Yeah, totally. What do you think's contributed to your success so far?
I would say celebrating others. For me, I didn't really know. I didn't have a blog. I didn't have a lot of content that I was creating, but I had a lot to say. And for me, I started curating a lot of content. I would take a great blog post, and my LinkedIn post about it would be 4 paragraphs. And it would be me kind of sharing my thoughts on that blog post. And what I started to realize was me celebrating all of these people that shared my passion, had a similar purpose, I got on their radar before I even knew I needed to. And by celebrating others, people kind of look at you and say, well, you're willing to do that? Like, it almost kind of allows people to understand what your message is without even creating content. And I did that early on. I spent a lot of time. I do that for a brand. If I want to work with a brand, I'll spend a year sharing their content, writing blogs about their content without ever making an ask. And for me, I'm gonna make them realize they care about me before they know they should. And when I go and say, hey, I would love to work with you. Oh, you've been creating so much for us for a year. I want to work with you. And so for me, that's like kind of creating the non-cold call. But yeah, celebrating others, it's been kind of my secret. You know, for my first show that I had, I was like, I want a show about social business. And they're like, well, what do you know? I was like, I don't need to know anything. The guests that I'm gonna have on the show are gonna know everything. I had every big name social business person you can imagine come on that show. We got rapport, we built things back. Now I go back to them and say, hey, that place you're speaking at, any chance you get me on stage? Of course, Brian, that interview was so amazing. And for me, all I did was celebrate their story. I didn't even, for the most part, especially early on, I didn't do much of my own piece. I just allowed them to tell their story to my audience.
Super cool. Love it. What did you really suck at in the beginning?
Prioritization. I still suck at it today. For me, prioritizing everything across the board, from time management, prioritizing who to reply to, when to reply to. That's something I've struggled with for a long time, including I look at prioritization and kind of outsourcing or asking for help as something that, especially as an entrepreneur, the term solopreneur, I think, should be scratched from everything because it makes you feel like maybe I should do this alone. And you realize doing it alone is just instant failure. It's the worst road you could ever imagine. And I've always, I deployed collaboration tools for enterprise companies. And then I went as an entrepreneur and attempted to do everything myself. And it's taken me a while. It wasn't even control. It was that prioritization where, and it's my favorite chapter title of my new book is, just because I can doesn't mean I should. And that, it's that, because YouTube can pretty much teach us everything. And just because it can teach, I was a web design major, but it was before WordPress. I still was managing my own site, doing all my own WordPress, but it was taking me 3 to 4 hours where I could have been, even replying or creating other content. And so bringing those people in. But yeah, it's something, prioritization and really, outsourcing the stuff that even if I can do it, I probably shouldn't be spending my time.
Yeah, so there's kind of 2 key things that get in the way, that we see get in the way of bloggers or podcasters or startups from actually starting. And that is time and fear. And I kind of feel like they're a bit the same because it's like the time is really just like the fear that you don't have enough time. We all have enough time.
Correct. And we all have the same amount of time. That's always the reminder.
Exactly. So I would love to hear 1 tip for both, 1 tip for time and 1 tip for fear.
For sure. So for me, for time is, and even that prioritization conversation that I'm doing, I do a lot now on what needs to be done in the nearest amount of time. So even though this email, I've had emails in my email box for 2 weeks, if they don't need an answer for 2 more weeks, that doesn't need to have a higher priority than something that needs a shorter amount. But for me, time is being strategic. And I like to say finding pockets of time to do the stuff you love. So I reply to every single tweet that's ever been tweeted out of my account. And people are like, how do you have the time for that? For me, it's, sitting in the doctor's office. You're sitting around there. If you're playing a game, for me, I open up Twitter and I go reply to all those people. Sometimes I'll send a Twitter video because I'm like, it takes me 10 seconds. And so kind of finding those pockets of time in your day, it's, not even, I was laughing. We were boiling. I was cooking macaroni and cheese. And I said, I replied to about 30 comments on my blog just while I was waiting for the water to boil. And what do you normally do during that time? And so I think for people that, busy is an excuse. I think busy is something that we use as a crutch. So for me, time is kind of finding that those pockets of doing it. And when you find what you love, you're going to make time. I think that's
prioritize things.
For sure. And then fear, for me, failure doesn't scare me. it still hurts every single time I fail. But something that my parents instilled in me was I know with my heart of hearts that I would never settle for failure. So failure is never a long-term thing. I've had ups and downs, but I look at fear as if you're able to look at it and say, and I'm a huge fan of risk versus reward. If you look at something and say, what's the worst possible scenario? What's the best possible scenario? And if you look at those and the worst possible scenario is really not worth it, you know, and Gary Vee even talks about this, you know, like if you're investing in something and you don't want to go down to one penny, and that's the worst case scenario, don't do that, right? But if you're okay willing to risk that because the reward is so drastic and it has a higher percent chance of success, go for it. And so for me, just because, you know, a lot of these things in the failure side, when I fail, yes, every failure is a learning. You know, there's lots of those cliches. But I think, you know, for me, failure has been one of those pieces where as long as I continue to know that it will not be something that will stop me forever, it doesn't scare me at all. And I will fail. I fail on a regular basis because of that. But I also feel like I learn fast. I will say things, you know, I will make statements, and I'm not afraid for that statement to be proven wrong, because for me, in that risk first reward, the risk is I have to write a blog that says, I'm sorry I was wrong. And if you look at my blog, and one of the tags on there is I'm sorry, and there's about 20 posts that say I had one of Garrett Guy Kawasaki, I had one about Snapchat. And for me, that's the worst case. Why not do it, right? And even on live video, I do a lot in live video. I tell people about, you know, just press the button. And they're like, well, but what if the lighting's not good? I'm like, what if it's not? And you look at it and oh, it's not good. You hit end, delete video, and it's gone. You know, let's look at, like, we kind of look at a lot of these things as, you know, I'd say never ending, and usually they're just short term.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
I love that conversation. I was actually taking notes. I've got quite a few of them that I've jotted down of things that I actually found really interesting and challenging myself. One of the things I particularly liked was that example that Brian gave of the YouTuber who set an expectation with her audience about what day she would respond to questions. I think that's just brilliant. And that's something that I think I might try and do myself. I'm not sure about that, but it's something I know a lot of bloggers, particularly once you get a lot of comments, really struggle with. So to be able to batch them in that way, set that expectation, maybe that's a good way forward, something I really enjoyed. I always enjoy when people talk about fear and juggling time as well. So I got some good stuff out of that one as well. And I think for me, ultimately, the message I love about Brian is that it's all about relationships and it's all about being yourself and not being perfect. And really, that was a major theme in a lot of the talks that were given this year at Pro Blogger event. We had a number of people talk about get it done. Doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be done. In fact, when it's not perfect, that shows a little bit of your own humanity, and that really can create a relationship with your audience. It reminds me of an interview that I was doing in front of 1,000 people online. It was a webinar, actually, and I'd arranged for my child, who at the time was 2.5, to be looked after by my mum. He was being looked after at the other end of the house. And I'd said to her, look, you really need to keep him quiet because I've got these 1,000 people on this webinar. Halfway through the webinar, I remember hearing my little 2.5-year-old running down the hallway screaming, I hate grandma. And then he burst into the room and screamed it out again. And it was one of those moments I was like, oh my goodness, this could have just destroyed my brand. This was like a big deal for me to be interviewed in front of all these people. And I just quietly excused myself from the webinar and said, I'll be back in a moment, muted myself, dealt with what was going on, got everyone settled, went back to the webinar. And it was actually the best thing that has ever happened to me on a webinar, because the rest of the webinar, the person who was interviewing me interviewed me in a whole different way because he was a dad too. And suddenly we had this connection. He could relate to that. And I got on Twitter after that webinar and found literally hundreds of tweets to me from people saying, wow, he's so like me. He's so human. He's so normal. It really broke down that brand, I guess, that maybe I'd tried to build up of, you know, pro blogger being professional and proper. And actually, that moment broke it all down for me and illustrated to me that so much more powerful to be yourself and to not have to be perfect all the time. Anyway, I love that message from Brian. I hope you enjoyed that particular interview. You can get the full transcript of that interview and find all Brian's links and Carly's links as well over at problogger.com/podcast/157. Thanks so much, Brian. Thanks, Carly, as well. We've got more interviews with some of our keynoters, including Daniel, who was mentioned during that podcast when they were talking about the thank you keynote. We've got that interview coming up in a few weeks' time as well. So do stay subscribed to this podcast over on iTunes and over on the show notes as well. Thanks for listening today, and we'll be back to a normal kind of podcast in a couple of days' time. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.